Next on NPR's From the Top.
I'll never be able to do it. Oh, my God.
Josh, never.
Josh, get it right this one time. Josh, come on. Josh, come on.
Oh, my God. We're going to crash and burn.
This is a new horn.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Here it comes. Here it comes.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from the Ferguson Center for the Arts in Newport News, Virginia, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes a 17-year-old baritone singing Handel, a 15-year-old cellist also singing, if you know what I mean, Mendelssohn's Song Without Words, and, as you just heard, a teenage sax quartet from Chicago willing to joke about the panic they feel as they approach the hardest part of their piece. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. We're thrilled to be here with you in Newport News as part of the Virginia Arts Festival. Such a beautiful part of the country, and it's so comforting to have those F5s flying overhead at all times. And on today's show, some great stories from kids who are from close-knit families. Our pianist and her older brother are simply the best of friends. They're also mega fans of the game show Jeopardy, so we're going to ask them to play our own version of that game today. Our young singer has never, ever been accompanied by anyone other than his mom until today. I'm going to do the honors, but not the ironing, okay? I draw the line. But we're going to start things off with a local lad who comes from a tight-knit family of string players. Please welcome, from here in Newport News, 13-year-old violinist Brendan Elliott. Brendan, welcome. You come from not only a musical family, you actually have a chamber music ensemble made up of family members. What's the name of that?
The name of it is Elliott Family String Quartet.
Appropriately enough. As a matter of fact, I think not too long ago, I was here with the Virginia Symphony. Were you guys playing out in front of the concert hall, the string quartet?
Yes, we were playing for pre-concert.
You guys were the only thing anybody talked about for that whole concert. Darn you. Well, you're going to go solo today, and with a wonderfully fun piece. Tell everybody what it is.
Symphony Espanol, Fifth Movement by Edward Lalo.
What's the image that you have in your mind when you're playing this piece, Brendan?
I imagine myself being a bullfighter and stepping onto the stage. It's like stepping out into a ring. And once you finish the piece, you win the hearts of the audience and they clap, hopefully.
Very good. Well, when you're ready, we'll take it from the Toro, from the top.
Thank you.
Brendan Elliott, 13-year-old violinist from here in Newport News, playing Edward Lalo. Brendan, I feel that you outwitted the bull this time. I think you skewered every one of these people. It was just a brilliant performance, just such a fantastic way to open up this show for us. I must say, I don't know where you find the strength to be a bullfighter or even a violinist. You refuse to eat fruits or vegetables?
Well, technically I eat corn.
Corn.
But some people argue that that's a starch, so I guess that one really doesn't count.
Well, French fries are, you know, those from potatoes. I mean, that's a starch too. I mean, but you eat absolutely no other vegetables or fruits?
No.
Is this a political thing? Is this some sort of, you know, was your mom frightened by a cucumber when she was pregnant with you? I mean, what's going on? Do you prefer not to eat them, or do you get violently ill when you eat them, or what's going on?
I find fruits and vegetables absolutely disgusting.
So, what do you eat?
Well, I eat a lot of meat and pasta, especially mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese. Let's see you in 10 years. You're looking like a very healthy young man, but, you know, you might just blimp out on us. I don't know. There's no chance. No apples, no oranges, nothing.
Nope.
I don't want to make you sick, man. You know, don't have a scene. Well, you got to find a better diet to do what you want in your life. I mean, what do you want to do with your life? What's the career path for you?
I like to become a first famous African-American male violinist.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's a very good plan. Actually, you know, it's come to think of it, it is a little weird. You know, I don't see a lot of African-American violin soloists in the world. You're absolutely right. Does it feel strange sometimes, you know, in a mostly white classical music world? You know, how do you feel? You know, how do you navigate those waters?
I know I don't, everybody knows you don't see that many African-Americans, especially males, playing string instruments in professional orchestras. Yeah. And I think I kind of influence the population of African-Americans starting to play string instruments, and by being a role model and becoming a famous violinist, I hope to influence even more people to start playing string instruments.
There's another way that you want things to change. You're here to lend courage to other 13-year-old boys, to show them by example that it's okay to be honest about their own deep, dark secret. Brendan, I believe you have something to confess on national radio.
I have to confess that I own stuffed animals.
You own stuffed animals?
Yes.
What animals are your favorites?
Well, I have three right here on the stand.
Oh, you do? Do you? They just happen to be here.
Yes.
For comfort, or do you play in front of audiences and stuffed animals at all times, or
both?
Just on silly radio programs.
Yeah.
So who have we got first up here?
This one is Happy Head.
Happy Head. It looks like a smiley face that's got his graduation cap on. And who else have you got?
This one is Dolphin.
Dolphin, even though he's probably a whale. It's okay.
And this one is Hash Bear, because we got him at McDonald's in the order of hash browns, so I named him Hash Bear.
But I guess you didn't eat the hash browns, huh?
No.
No, no way. But the bear is okay? No grease on the bear, so...
No.
So it's okay. So who's your favorite?
Well, this one.
Hash Bear?
Yeah, he actually wanted to talk to you.
Oh, did he really? Hi, Hash Bear. This is so sweet. I love Hash Bear. We're proud of you for coming clean with us, Brendan. And it's a very selfless act on behalf of all 13-year-old boys. And speaking of selfless acts, that was such a generous and wonderful performance, and we're so glad you came to be on the show and be with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. And thank you, Hash Bear. Brendan Elliott, 13-year-old violinist from here in Newport News.
If you're a teenage boy like Brendan and you're man enough to admit you sleep with a teddy bear, we want to hear from you. Go to FromTheTop.org to email us your teddy bear photos. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at JackKentCookFoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is from the L.A. area, and she's come all this way to play a wonderful piece of piano music by a contemporary composer. This is 16-year-old Priscilla Chan. Priscilla, why don't you tell everybody about this quite energetic and fantastic piece you're going to play?
Well, tonight I'm going to be playing a piece by Robert Muchinsky. It's called Desperate Measures, and I don't know why it's called Desperate Measures, but I do know that he dedicated it to his sister Gloria, and he also wanted a way to remember the kinds of sounds he heard when he was growing up in Chicago, so he wrote this piece.
Well, I think most of our audience will recognize the theme on which this frenetic set of variations is based. It's the Paganini Caprice No. 24. Rachmaninoff's done great variations, and Brahms, and all kinds of folks. But I guess it has that real Chicago urban quality. Stage is yours. Priscilla Chan, 16-year-old Candace from Arcadia, California, right next door to Pasadena in L.A. Desperate Measures. I heard some Desperate Measures in there. Mr. Muchinski did a beautiful job, not your usual gloss on the Paganini Caprice. And I did hear some Chicago aspects, a little bit of Rush Street jazz, and I even thought I heard some of those obscenities the White Sox manager was screaming on national television. You're not only a gifted pianist, Priscilla, you're also a totally committed figure skater. I mean, you practice the piano, I'm sure, every day, but how many times a week are you skating?
I practice figure skating 5 to 6 days a week, each time usually an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Wow, so that really is a full schedule. You really do push yourself. What drives you in skating and the piano?
I really like doing a lot of things. I like keeping myself busy, and it really helps when what you're doing is what you like. Mm-hmm. So.
You've always got great support at home. You're especially close, though, to your oldest brother, yes?
Yeah, his name is Elton.
And is he a musician or a skater as well, or is there skating and or music in your family? Or?
Music is very much in my family. Skating, no.
Not so much.
No.
I mentioned at the top of the show that you're both, you and Elton, huge Jeopardy fans.
That's right.
So you watch all the time, or? Well, actually, yeah. He's at college now, isn't he?
He is.
So you don't get to see him as much now.
No, only at like family reunions mm-hmm. and when he comes home from school, like vacations.
Where is he going?
Stanford.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Priscilla, I have a feeling you know where this is headed. We thought it would be fun for you to be able to play Jeopardy with your brother Elton again. So we actually have him on the telephone from his very prestigious school, Stanford. No wonder he's good at Jeopardy. And we're going to let you two go head-to-head for old time's sake in a round of musical Jeopardy. Elton, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. What are you studying at Stanford?
I'm a human biology major.
Oh, how's it going? Enjoying yourself?
Yeah, it's been great. It's challenging, but it's what I want to do, so.
That's right. Very good. Well, you ready to take on your little sister?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, let's play.
There are three categories: famous composers, musicology 101, and virtuosi I have known. If you answer a question correctly, you get 10 points, and you get to pick the next category.
Hey, let's test our noisemakers here. So, Priscilla, let's hear yours. And Elton? Must be a Verizon customer. Actually, it sounds quite good. Sounds quite good. As our telephonic guest, Elton, I think we should let you go first, so you can pick the category.
Okay. I'll go with, I guess, famous composers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Why did Maurice Ravel write a piano concerto for the left hand only? Was it A, for his favorite student who lost an arm in a milling accident, B, for himself, he lost the use of his right hand towards the end of his life, or C, for a pianist who lost an arm in World War I? Elton?
I'll guess A.
For a favorite student, A?
Mm-hmm.
Not the right answer.
All right.
You want to try one, Priscilla?
C.
C. Indeed, that is the right answer. It was for Paul Wittgenstein. So, Priscilla, you get to pick the next category.
I'll go with musicology 101.
Okay, here we go. If G sharp is the tonic, what is the dominant? You guys. Elton?
D sharp.
D sharp is correct. Pick a category there, Elton.
All right, let's try virtuosi I've known.
Okay. What do these three virtuosi have in common? Sir Neville Mariner, Christoph Eschenbach, and Esa-Pekka Salonen. Elton?
They're all conductors also.
They're all conductors. That's good enough. You work that. That works. Next one for you, Elton.
Okay. Let's try virtuosi I've known.
All right. Which piano virtuoso was also a celebrated heartthrob? Was it A, Arthur Rubinstein, B, Franz Liszt, or C, Emmanuel Ax? Priscilla?
List,
of course. Well, our buzzer tells us that the game is over, and Joanne, our winner is?
With 20 points each, they are tied.
Tied. A polite round of Jeopardy. Brother and sister tie. So congratulations to both of you. And Elton, thank you for joining us. It's been great having you, and best of luck at Stanford.
Thank you.
And Priscilla, all the best to you, and thanks again for a great performance.
Thank you.
Priscilla Chan, 16-year-old pianist from the Los Angeles area. Our third performer, 17-year-old Elliot Hines, is joining me on stage now. Elliot is a wonderful young baritone. Elliot, welcome to the program. Tell everybody what you're going to sing.
I will be singing Si Trai Ceppi by Handel.
I know that you love the message of this aria. Why don't you translate a little bit? Tell us what it's about.
The words mean, the first part of the song says, yes, even in chains and bonds, my faith will shine. And then in the second part of the piece, it talks about that not even in death will your flame or faith be extinguished. And I think it's a text that speaks to everyone.
It's a very uplifting message. Here we go.
La mia fe risplenderà. Si zai cepi e le ritorte, la mia fe risplenderà. La mia fe risplenderà tra le ritorte, si tra i ceppi e le ritorte, la mia fe risplenderà, la mia fe risplenderà, risplenderà.
Elliot Hines, 17-year-old baritone from Sugarland, Texas, singing Handel. Elliot, congratulations. You've won one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. That's a great thing.
Thank you.
So that's a nice bit of news. Today is really a first for you, not only being on national radio, but also...
This is the first time that my mother has not accompanied me for a performance. This is, yeah, for any recital or solo or audition, she has always accompanied me. So this is the first time that I've had someone else.
Were you a little nervous?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
You seem to hold your own. You seem to hold your own quite well. Your mom studied where?
She did. She studied at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, it's an honor for me to have played that role, but I wonder how your mom feels about it. Matter of fact, our roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones, is out in the audience with your mom, Susan, now. Taja?
Hi. Miss Hines, can I call you Susan?
Yes, of course.
So how was that for you, exactly? I mean, watching your son accompanied by somebody else for the very first time.
Actually, I was very nervous. My heart was pounding and beating very fast because I was actually the mom in the audience, and it's easier for me to accompany him. So,
were your fingers moving in your lap, like playing along?
Actually, they were. Yes, they were.
Elliot, your mom has been with you all along. I mean, from the moment that singing entered your life. I guess choral singing was the very first thing that happened.
It was.
Tell the Red Lobster story.
Well, seventh grade, going into eighth grade, I had to pick an elective to take for eighth grade year, and I had five elective choices, and I put choir as the very last choice. And the only reason I put it down was because my best friend Heather said, hey, do you know choir goes to a water park in the end of the year? So I said, well, if I do end up with choir, then at least I get to go to a water park. So some benefits with that. And I ended up not getting any of my other elective choices and getting put in choir. And I was devastated. My mother took me to Red Lobster. She thought it'd make me feel better. And I started sobbing in the middle of Red Lobster because I was so upset because I thought choir's so dumb and I'll hate it. And she tried to, you know, do the motherly thing and say, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, but at that point, it was the worst day of my life. And it worked out pretty well. I'm excited that I got into it. I like it. So...
But Elliot, you've got singing in your blood, literally.
Yes, my father was an opera singer, actually. He performed everywhere. My mom was his accompanist, and that's actually how they met. He needed an accompanist for a voice competition, and he called up my mom, and she came to play for his students. And when he saw her playing for her students, he walked up on stage and stood next to her. And then he walked off and went to his students and said, do we look good together? And then and then he walked back on stage again and would walk back and say, will we look good together? Will we make it together? And so, you know, that's how they met together, you know. They accompanied each other.
Susan, is that emotional for you, seeing that connection between Elliot and his father?
Yes, very much so. He reminds me of him in almost everything he does, even from his passion for cooking or languages. But as a musician, he really is so much like him. He's very articulate in his musicality and just his mannerism. So he reminds me of his dad every day.
And with that being said, what are you hoping for Elliot's musical future?
Well, I'm hoping that he will think big, and he actually wants to be a conductor.
She really wants me to be a performer. She wants me to go sing, but I'm thinking more. I really want to conduct choirs. That's what I really love, and it's just neat seeing how you can take so many people from so many different backgrounds to focus on one goal and just... you know, to make something beautiful, beautiful sound. And, you know, in our world today, so many people have so many different focuses and are in so many different places doing different things. And I think something like a band or a choir or an orchestra is just a really great way to bring people together to do something awesome.
A communal energy that I'm sure you would be a very compelling and motivating leader. I personally would feel bereft if we couldn't hear you sing, you know, in public at least part of the time. Don't give up the singing, Elliot, please, because you have a beautiful, beautiful voice and a great gift.
Thank you.
And it's a great, you have great gifts in many, many ways, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elliot. Thank you. Thank you, Susan and Taja, and thank you, Elliot. Elliot Hines, 17-year-old baritone from Sugarland, Texas.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from the Ferguson Center for the Arts in Newport News, Virginia. Coming up, a vigorous saxophone finale performed by a talented teenage quartet from the Chicago area. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's program at the Virginia Arts Festival has been co-presented by Young Audiences of Virginia and WHRO. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer is a 15-year-old cellist from New Haven, Connecticut. Please welcome Jenny Brent. Jenny, welcome. Talk to us a little bit about the special relationship this piece of music has to chicken soup.
Well, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was sick with the flu, and so I had to stay home from school for about a week. And the first day, my mom made me chicken soup, and I was in bed, and she just popped in a CD I'd never heard before, and it happened to be the piece I'm about to play, which is Mendelssohn's Song Without Words. And I listened to this piece over and over, and I really fell in love with it. It's so vocal, obviously, and I feel like it's kind of the piece that cello was made for. So
here we go, this Mendelssohn Song Without Words.
Thank you.
Jenny Brent, our 15-year-old cellist from New Haven, Connecticut, playing Mendelssohn. That is quite a beautiful piece. I can imagine it would be a wonderful source of solace in, on any occasion.
Yeah.
And very songful, very lyrical, the way you play it. Obviously very graceful with a cello, but I hear climbing stairs can be a problem.
Yeah, actually, I fall down the stairs a lot. It really bugs my parents, usually about 2 or 3 times a week.
That doesn't make any sense to me, young lady. I mean, you have a very sort of coordinated background. You're a ballet dancer for how many years?
I mean, I danced ballet for 11 years. So
I mean, seriously, not just like little classes, but
yeah,
you know.
I danced every day for about an hour and a half. So it was actually really kind of funny because I'd always dance, and then as soon as I get off stage, I'd like fall down the stairs or something. But when I was little, every day after ballet, I would buy a soda from the vending machine, and every day I would spill it on the rug in the lobby, and they actually had to reupholster the entire room because of me, which was kind of funny.
Is it now known as the Jenny Brent Foyer, or you know something?
To some people.
Or the Coca-Cola Foyer, yeah. Probably with all that new carpeting. Kidding aside, a recent hand injury sort of changed your perspective on music, and I imagine on life. What'd you do to your hand?
Actually, it was sliced pretty badly by a piece of glass that fell from a window.
Wow.
I have a pretty big scar right here.
Yeah,
but
on your bow hand.
Yeah, it's on my bow hand. But mm-hmm. Actually, for school, I had to do a project. It was called External Study Week, where you had to do something outside of school. And so I chose to interview musicians who had gone through similar injuries as for mine, oh. And had recovered from them. And I interviewed about 7 or 8 musicians, and it was actually really interesting because they had all gone through exactly what I had gone through. I went through physical therapy, and they gave me a lot of things to think about. One person, she was really helpful. She had a terrible injury to her hand, and she couldn't play violin. She was a professional violinist. She couldn't play for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And
long time.
She said it was so scary for her. She couldn't even think about it, but she started to think about everything else there is in life that she could get enjoyment out of, which was really helpful for me because when I had my hand injury at first, I was really devastated, and I didn't know if I'd ever even fully recover.
Did you, I mean, if you couldn't play the cello, was it just, you know, did you feel like it was all over for you? Or did it,
that's
did you
start, how I felt at the
really?
Time.
Really? Oh, gosh, that is devastating.
Yeah.
Did you write about it? I mean, I know you write poetry. It doesn't sound like an inspiring poetic experience,
yeah.
Cutting your hand. But
Well, I kept a diary. Mm-hmm. I typed a diary with my left hand,
yes.
On the computer, which was just a nice way to, you know, write about everything I was feeling at the time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much for that,
Thank
Mendelssohn.
You.
Very moving, very lyrical performance. Thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having me.
Jenny Brent, 15-year-old cellist from New Haven, Connecticut.
To listen to radio shows online, watch exclusive videos, and subscribe to our podcast, go to fromthetop.npr.org. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Here's Chris and our teen roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones.
Well, it's been a pretty fun show, huh, Taja?
Pretty fun, Chris. I do have to say, pretty fun. So what's cooking for our finale?
Exactly.
So what's cooking?
Yeah.
Huh?
What's cooking?
That's what I asked.
Ladies and gentlemen and fans of Abbott and Costello, the What's Cookin' Sax Quartet, all studying at Midwest Young Artists in Chicago. You got it now, Taja?
I get it.
Amanda Peterson, 18, playing soprano sax. Mira DeYoung, 17-year-old alto sax player. Kateri Tuminello, 18-year-old tenor saxophonist. And holding up the bottom end, Josh Plotner, 15 years old, on the baritone. Please welcome them. We've got 2 members of the group, Mira and Amanda, to talk with Taja and me before they play.
So what's the deal with the name?
Well, being a saxophone quartet, you don't really see a whole lot of classical saxophone quartets, so we figure we gotta be just as our name has to be just as unique as we are. So, you know, what's cooking? You don't hear that a lot for a name.
And our wonderful coach is called Susan Cook, so we had to attribute it to her.
Makes sense. We've had silly names on our, you know, the Bone Rangers, a trombone quartet on our show.
So what's cooking is so much better.
What's cooking? Well, okay.
It totally beats it.
You guys are competitive. I know that. Now, thank you for applying to be on our show, because we rarely get to hear a saxophone quartet, and you four have such a great ensemble sound. I imagine it's not easy for a sax quartet. What are the hard things about it?
Well, the saxophone is naturally a very out-of-tune instrument, and there's a few notes that are really troublesome, and you always have to watch out for them when you're playing.
It's a really good thing of, like, knowing especially all the tendencies of your instrument, knowing kind of the cheats around to make those notes more in tune and easier to play within an ensemble.
And you're playing such a great piece, but I guess your enjoyment of this piece is marred by one repeated section that's really tough.
Oy.
Well, there's one section where we're all playing 16th notes in unison at 152 beats per minute, so it's a little tricky.
It's intense. Mm-hmm.
Chris, they're being all brave about it right now, but getting through that passage, it's emotionally brutal for these kids. Check out this recording I made of their dress rehearsal using the From the Top parapsychological recording device.
Ah, yes, good old PRD. Records the inner thoughts of musicians while they're playing.
Yeah, so heading up to that scary passage, this is what those poor kids are going through.
I'll never be able to do it. Oh my God.
Josh, never.
Josh, get it right this one time. Josh, come on. Josh, come on.
Oh my God, we're gonna crash and burn.
This is a new horn.
Oh my God. Here it comes, here it comes.
Whoa, that is intense.
I know, it sounds like Godzilla meets Gamera. Okay, now that we've a newfound appreciation for the difficulties involved with this piece, will you introduce it, Mira?
We'll be playing the third movement from Elliot Del Borgo's Quartet for Saxophones.
It is indeed a great way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our young performers, and thank you, Taja, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And what's cooking? You can get cooking. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias-Manos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with Dan Hallis and John Servius. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.